Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil. Next, I take an ice bath. Ooh, feeling super healthy.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com, Cygnos.com, with code SPARK. Cygnos.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back, hour two of Fantasy Sports today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock, good to be with you here on the show. We got you till 2 o'clock Eastern on tomorrow's show. We'll bring back George Kurtz to preview a little Stanley Cup NHL action. You heard the headlines here from Chris at the top of the hour. We have ours as well, a little bit to dive into here in the 1 o'clock hour on Sports Grid. So let's go ahead and get started and take a look what's going on in the world of sports, or the world of sports betting, in our world on FanDuel tonight. We've got the Eastern Conference Finals getting set to start. Looking forward to seeing this one. We got the Bucks right now as 8-point favorites over the Atlanta Hawks. Shohei Ohtani is on the mound. That's always must-see TV or listen to on the radio, depending on how you like it. That's going on this afternoon at 4 o'clock Eastern, a basically pick'em game on FanDuel. Couple of big injuries last night, by the way, in baseball, in case you missed it. Diamondbacks' Ketel Marte looks like he suffered another hamstring injury. He missed almost 2 months of the season with that. Same issue, it looked like, in the same game with Dan Vogelbach. I want to talk about this for a minute, but Vogelbach last night was injured, could not run home, and hopped home, and the Diamondbacks did not throw home, so he just walked to home plate. It was really strange, but that's what happened yesterday. NHL Eastern Conference Finals, the Tampa Bay Lightning can close out the Islanders tonight in Long Island. They are up 3-2 in this series. If they win, they move on to the Stanley Cup Finals. Tampa Bay, really good hockey franchise. And the Suns, Davis, are expecting to have Chris Paul back for Game 3, as we have discussed. What is on your mind here on this Wednesday? Certainly a lot going on, a lot to dive into, a lot of baseball for me, of course. And basketball should be fun tonight as well.
Yeah, I mean, I will be locked in to the Shohei Ohtani start against the San Francisco Giants. That one's going to start right after you and I get off the air, so I will be monitoring that one. I think any Ohtani start is great, but I'm also holding my breath a little bit for two reasons. One, don't want him to get shelled, right? Ohtani getting shelled is basically worst case experience. And he is walking a lot of guys. So eventually he's going to have a start where he walks four dudes and, you know, someone hits a grand slam off of him. And it is not great for the ERA. And then also I hold my breath because I'm just like, look, man, please don't tear your UCL. The words, Tommy John. I don't need to hear those words in relation to Shohei Ohtani. It's great to sweat it out there, but then also I'm worried about him getting hurt. And this game tonight, I am super pumped for Hawks Bucks. I'm curious to see if Budenholzer makes any adjustments to his rotation, playing, you know, a much different team. The Hawks score and defend in a much different way. I wonder if they're going to be playing smaller lineups with Giannis at center, or if they're going to be playing more Bobby Portis, who basically got, stuck in the shed for the entirety of that net series. I think that one's going to be great. And then, yeah, Chris Paul coming back. This is what we want. We don't want extra asterisks on NBA titles. We want as many guys healthy, as many guys, you know, full 100% good to go. So I'm excited to see him come back.
Have you looked at all, I think, is it the Travelers golf tournament this weekend? Have you looked at all the PGA? I didn't notice what tournament was coming up this week.
Yeah, it is the Travelers. You know, it's not the most high profile event in golf for sure. But it is, I guess, generally speaking, the week after the majors, we're like, oh, you know, the big names aren't really going to play. They're going to take their week off, right. Their beach house, get right. But actually, pretty strong field. Bryson's playing, DJ's playing, Cantlay's playing, Brooks is playing. This is a much shorter and much easier golf course than they played last week at the U.S. Open. I think we will see a winning score that gets very far below par. A couple interesting guys to bet this week, I think. I of course, like Patrick Cantlay at 15-1 to win this event. I think Abraham Answer at 28-1, pretty interesting. Charlie Hoffman, 44-1. But overall, I think that's just a better golf product than we've had in some years. Because they're, even if five of the top 10 best players in the world take the week off and the five other ones play, that's five great golfers. Like, we just have a lot of great guys in the game of golf right now.
It's true. Am I mistaken, or were last Monday before the U.S. Open, or maybe the Monday before that, did we talk about Rory McIlroy not qualifying for the U.S. Open? How did he get into the U.S. Open? I forgot to ask you that.
It wasn't Rory. It was Ricky Fowler, and he did not end up playing. And it's amazing. Ricky Fowler is priced at 65-1 to win a non-major, right? To win a non-prestige tour event. And he's not even getting action at 65-1. I mean, how the mighty have fallen with Ricky Fowler. Don't know what steps he needs to take. I mean, maybe it's just a case of Ricky Fowler made his money, you know, won the Players' Championship, has probably, other than Tiger Woods, you know, most of the most lucrative endorsements because he's such a character. But just very strange to see Ricky Fowler at the bottom of these betting sheets.
Yeah, I got my R's confused there. Ricky Fowler is the one who I was meaning to talk about. He is always at baseball spring training, and he gets in a uniform and takes batting practice. And I've missed that over the last couple of years. So I got my Rory and Ricky mixed up. Okay, coming up next, it is time for us to take a look at the American League and National League pennants over on FanDuel. I don't think that we've had this exercise much this season. Forget about the World Series. This is just to win the AL and NL. And I'll give you a little tip. One of them seems like anybody could win, and another one seems fairly chalky. So think about that as we take a break and we come back. We'll see if we can come up with some answers for you. Right here on Fantasy Sports Today, just stay on the grid with us, Davis and Craig. Be right back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
About halfway through the Major League Baseball season, thought it'd be good to check in over on FanDuel and see how they have their odds stacked for the American League and National League pennant. And thus far, you know, I think the World Series is sort of wide open here. Of course, the Dodgers are going to be in the mix, no doubt about that. But there are definitely some new contenders in the American League, Davis. So I thought let's do this exercise and see if we could come up with any potential long shots or favorites. And as it stands right now, interestingly enough, the White Sox are 3-1. They are the favorite to win the American League on FanDuel. They've had a great year, and arguably two of their, top five players are not playing right now. And Luis Robert and Eloy Jimenez are going to get both those guys back, I would assume, at some point. They're 3-1. Houston has made a significant charge. They were not on the map, and now they are 4-1. So they're going to be formidable. Of course, no matter what the Yankees are, they're going to be on a list of this in some way. They're 5.5-1. Tampa Bay last week was, I think, 4-1. They moved back to 6-1 here. Oakland is 7-1. Boston's 8.5-1. And then Toronto, I know you like them a lot. I'm not sure about their pitching if they have enough. They are 13-1. I'd love to, you know, take a stab here at like Oakland, you know, because they look like they have a really good team. But what does track record tell you about the A's even for the last decade? Like they're gonna tease you a little bit. They're gonna get into the postseason and then someone's gonna wipe them out and that's gonna be it. So, I mean, gosh, is it chalky here to say White Sox? Maybe if I had a long shot, to some degree, it would be Tampa Bay. At 6-1, maybe Wander Franco carries them. Houston, I don't know. How do you see the American League?
Well, you know, and I guess we need to be clear that this is the American League champion that plays series. This isn't you know, the pennant, right? Best record in the regular season. So like that, I think that changes how you view it a little bit, because don't you view? I mean, this is the way I have always viewed playoff baseball, but you got to have three nailed on starters in the playoffs. Like I think that what we have learned over the history of baseball in the playoffs is that teams that have three very strong starting pitchers, especially guys who can go on 3 days rest, right? Verlander and Kershaw and these other guys who have gone strong on 3 days rest in the playoffs. I really think that ends up being massively beneficial. I would love to take the Blue Jays here, but I agree with you. They don't have that starting pitching. And I don't necessarily know if I see a move that they can make. You know, who is the difference-making starter that the Toronto Blue Jays can add in the trading market? Now, they might be able to add a third starter. They might be able to add someone, you know, to replace some of their bottom half of their innings, which has been, you know, clearly that has been a problem. The Blue Jays are throwing bullpen games. They're throwing guys we have never heard of. But, you know, the Ryu, Stripling, Ray, Manoa, you got a bunch of guys who are like twos there, right? And that's at best, right? Ray at his best is a two. Ryu at his best is a two. Manoa, who knows? But what I'm saying is I want to bet the Blue Jays here. I want to say they're the best odds, but I don't actually believe it because I don't think they have the pitching. I think the answer to me, it's got to be the Rays. The Rays would be the team here. They add Franco, so they add a potential super impact bat, and they add a super impact bat at a position that they were not getting any production from. You know, the Willie Adames, Taylor Walls portion of their lineup was the worst hitting part of their lineup, but they have a huge issue now with Tyler Glasnow injured, and who knows how long he is going to be out. He has this partially torn ligament. Does he get surgery? Does he do rehab starts? Does he get PRP? You know, what does he end up doing? Because if you look at their pitching now, Yarbrough, Hill, Fleming, Waka, and then McClanahan, but they never let McClanahan go more than like four innings, never more than like 60, 70 pitches. I want to bet them, but I don't think I can in good conscience because I don't see how they figure out the pitching.
Yeah, and some of these teams will make trades, but if you just eliminated that and you looked at internal options of maybe boosts of players coming back, there's a chance. I mean, as I hate to say it, but the Red Sox may have the biggest one if Chris Sale can come back and pitch for them in August and September, although that's still unclear. He's coming back from Tommy John surgery. So that's a player internally they have. The White Sox, I mentioned, they have two coming back. Oakland has one in Trevor Rosenthal to help with the ninth inning, and the rest of these teams really don't have a ton. So it would be going outside the organization, which sometimes can hurt the inside of the organization, but we'll see. I expect, by the way, the White Sox to just do a lot of stuff at the deadline. There's no doubt that they see the opening here, and they got to run through it. You know, they got to take their shot here. Their manager is 95 years old. You know, I mean, everything is going the right way without those two outfielders. I think the White Sox, whatever is out there to add, I think that they're going to try and add it. Houston, I'm not so sure. Tampa Bay, always willing to do it. Oakland does it all the time, but it still doesn't do them any good. So those are sort of the teams to go through here. I'm with you on Tampa Bay a little bit. Houston at 4-1 seems like a shot too. And maybe Verlander comes back in September. I don't know. Hard to say. Okay, so the AL seemingly, Davis, is wide open, and the National League is not, or at least that's the way that FanDuel views it. So I wonder if there is any value here. The Dodgers are plus 175. There's no value there whatsoever. Maybe to win the World Series at plus 175, but to win the NL, I mean, those odds are too short. Padres at 4-1. I don't like the Mets at 4-1 at all here. It's just that they're winning the division. Milwaukee is 9.5-1. San Francisco, 10-1 to win the NL pennant. And then the Braves were the team that I thought gave the most value at the beginning of the season, Davis, but they just cannot break out of this funk. They have not looked right all season long. And then even after that, could I go deeper to Philadelphia and Washington? And so I don't even want to do that. So I feel like the winner of the NL is on this page right here.
Well, the winner of the NL definitely is on that page. I mean, isn't the clear answer here the San Francisco Giants? Because, you know, we don't know how they're doing it. We don't really have a great understanding of, like, oh, you know, they are this good, you know, whatever. But clearly, if I was going to bet on one of these teams, it would be the Giants, who have just figured it out. They're getting a great season from Kevin Gausman, getting a great season from Alex Wood. They call up Sammy Long to make his MLB debut. He has been solid thus far. Desclafani is giving them great outings, you know, way better than we would have imagined. I guess that the answer is just, you know, if you were going to bet on someone for the value, it would be the Giants. I mean, it would be to me, I would maybe bet the Padres at 4-1. You know, the Padres have a great roster. They figured out the starting pitching. They, you know, you don't have any concerns about any of their guys. They have met that requirement. Darvish, Snell, Musgrove. And if Snell, you know, if you're up against a team with a bunch of right-handers, you could even put Paddock or Lamet in there. You could even, I foresee in the postseason, one of Paddock or Lamet going into the bullpen to become their long guy. I would imagine that we probably see that happen. Those are extremely good long guys to have. Again, I don't know. Am I going to bet anyone in the NL? Probably not, because it's an efficient market and the Padres or the Dodgers are just the best team.
Yeah, at plus 175, and again, another team, and you start thinking about internal options of players coming back. The Mets, honestly, are the one team that are going to get back Conforto and they're going to get back Nimmo, but then again, they just lost Stroman. You know, Milwaukee good enough to get close, probably not all the way. Yeah, the Giants are interesting, but at the same time, it's like with the Giants, to bet it now, I mean, I would like betting the Giants in a month or two from them. Because to bet it right now, I mean, who knows? Davis, they could lose 15 in a row. We'd be like, oh, okay, that's who they are. But if they can hang on a little bit longer, and then what would the odds be at that point? Let's say on August 1st, the Giants to win the NL. What is it going to be? 8-1? 9-1? It's not going to be that much different. And that's the one team here that I still – I mean, I guess I have to be convinced and give them credit. It's just so far out there for me to believe that this is who they are. So – we'll see. Okay, coming up next, the New York Giants, kind of a pivotal season yet again for their offense. They'll get Saquon Barkley back, but is he enough in fantasy to help this team get back to what they were a few years ago with Plaxico and Eli Manning and the great running backs that they had? Our fantasy football preview, best ball style of the Giants, is next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the show here. It's Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid, as it is now time for us to take a look at fantasy football from a season-long perspective, but best ball format. What is best ball? Essentially, it means you're drafting a fantasy football team today, 3 months before the season begins, and you're not touching the team for the entire season. So Davis is here to help us kind of get a little bit ahead of draft season. Maybe there are some sleepers, and we're going through every single team in the NFL. Then we'll have our season previews as we get closer to the 2021 season. Preseason, by the way, getting ready to start here in a little bit over a month. Today, Davis, we're going to focus on the New York Giants. And they have one of those quarterbacks that was taken in the first round, of course, in Daniel Jones. So a lot is going to be circling around him. He's had a lot of issues, no question, in the past. But at the very least, if healthy, and that's a big if, because Saquon Barkley is a big key to this team. But if healthy, they have definitely surrounded him with enough to keep him successful. Kind of feels like what's going on in Miami here a little bit, except for Daniel Jones's leash is a lot, I would say, shorter at this point going into his third season.
Well, I mean, I don't think Daniel Jones will be benched this year, but you are correct that if Daniel Jones fails this season, I don't think they're going to blame it on Joe Judge. I don't think they're going to blame it on Jason Garrett. I think the blame is going to land pretty squarely on Daniel Jones because they have done everything they can possibly do to surround him with talent, right? Saquon Barkley, second overall pick a couple years ago, one of the best pass-catching running backs in the NFL. They spend the first-round pick on Kadarius Toney. They retain Darius Slayton, Sterling Shepard, and Evan Ingram. They add Kyle Rudolph to be their secondary tight end. I mean, you know, we can joke about Kyle Rudolph, but he is a very good second tight end relative to league average. And then they add Kenny Golladay, 4 years, $72 million in free agency. I mean, this is set up, you're right, very similar to what Miami is doing with Tua, very similar to what the Buffalo Bills did with Josh Allen. They look at this young quarterback and they say, we don't want to be worried about is Daniel Jones good or not 12 months from now. We want our answer to if Daniel Jones is good or not. And they are certainly going to get their answer because they have given him all the tools available in the toolbox.
Now, when somebody fumbles as much as Daniel Jones does, Davis, and you're considering drafting that player in fantasy football, is there a fix for that? Because I remember going into last fantasy football season, and of course, naturally, there are going to be backers of certain players. And the backers of this player was, this is what he's specifically working on, and it's not going to happen. If I'm not mistaken, that did play itself out the first handful of games. And then it went right back to where it was. So is this just something that can't be taught?
Yeah, I don't really think that it can be. And specifically as it pertains to Daniel Jones, I mean, he is one of the worst cases of it that you're ever going to see. I guess this is where I am at with Daniel Jones and with the Giants. I see the upside for Daniel Jones because he runs a little bit. 45 rushing attempts, 279 yards, and 2 touchdowns for him as a rookie. 65 rushing attempts, 423 yards, and 1 rushing touchdown last year. But the amount of turnovers that Daniel Jones generates, I mean, this is not like young Brett Favre or whatever. This is like turnover rates you would not believe. He has started 26 games in his career. He has 29 fumbles. He has taken 83 sacks. I'm not misspeaking. 83 sacks in those games while also throwing 22 interceptions. Like roughly 15% of the time when Daniel Jones drops back, he's either fumbling, throwing an interception, or getting sacked. I mean, that is like your quarterback at your favorite high school did not generate results as poorly as Daniel Jones has the last two seasons of the Giants, and I don't really see a solution to that.
Well, he's going to have to get some help. Unfortunately for Saquon Barkley, it has not worked, Davis, the last couple of years. This kid looked like he was going to be a game changer in both the NFL and fantasy, but injuries have really hurt him, and he was limited to like nothing last year. So the Giants brought in Devontae Booker, who they feel is probably a better option to Wayne Gallman, who was there. But I don't know. I know that Barkley's going to go in the top three, I guess, Davis, of every draft. I've been down this road in fantasy football before, and usually when this happens, it doesn't end well. You know, when a guy gets hurt and he misses the year and gets hurt again, it's usually the beginning of the end. And I hate to say that about Barkley, but I suppose if I have the fourth pick, I'm going to take him, or the fifth pick, I'm going to take him, but I certainly don't feel great about it.
I don't feel great about it either. And I saw someone make this very astute point the other day what's really the difference between Saquon Barkley at this point and Joe Mixon? Like, both of them have had stretches of being great for fantasy football, but they both play on offenses that we expect to be trailing a ton. You know, the Giants' defense is not any good, and they both have been injured a ton. You know, I guess the difference is Barkley was the number two overall pick in the draft. The Giants and Dave Gettleman are, I mean, no one is more incentivized to prove that he was correct to take Saquon Barkley than Dave Gettleman, because he passed up on all those great quarterbacks. You know, Josh Allen went after him, Lamar Jackson went after him, and so on and so forth. And I think, you know, I mean, everyone knew at the time that they shouldn't have taken Saquon. They should have done almost anything else. But Dave Gettleman will never admit defeat. Dave Gettleman will never admit that he is wrong about those decision makings. But, you know, again, Saquon is going to benefit more than almost anyone else from this offense being good. There'll be more third downs for him to catch passes. There'll be more goal line touches. And if he stays healthy the entire season and this offense does improve, I mean, he could have just an insane fantasy season.
All right, so let's go over to receiver. Speaking of burning me, I think Kenny Golladay has burned me two at least out of the last 4 years. 338 yards last year, two touchdowns. And you mentioned, you say the word a lot here on the show, incentivized. I don't know how incentivized Golladay was to return last year, so that has to factor in, and I get that. Darius Slayton, 750 yards and three touchdowns. He kind of became the one. Sterling Shepard, at this point of his career, has been a little bit of a disappointment. Kadarius Toney is now in the mix. So I count four options here for the Giants, potentially, and all of these players have had issues or injuries in the past, and I see John Ross here too, but look, I mean, I don't know if he'll make the team or not, but I see four options, and they certainly didn't draft Kadarius Toney, Davis, to not use him. So what is going on with the Giants, excuse me, and their wide receivers? I even hiccuped there. That was bad.
Yeah, so I do think that they kind of view Kadarius Toney as like a offensive weapon style player, you know, kind of how the Jacksonville Jaguars used LaVisca Chenault last year. I think he'll get some jet sweeps, some backfield touches and things like that. To me, the signing of Kenny Golladay was probably about them not viewing Darius Slayton as a true, you know, alpha outside wide receiver. You were right. I mean, why is Kenny Golladay rushing to come back for a 4-win Lions team last year? Like, what's the point? Now, he did lead the NFL in touchdowns in 2019, had a very strong 2018, 70 receptions, 1,063 yards, 5 touchdowns. I mean, to me, Daniel Jones is worse than Matt Stafford, but Stafford missed a lot of time in Kenny Galladay's 2019 season. So Galladay has had good quarterback play. He's had bad quarterback play. For best ball purposes specifically, I've been ragging on the Giants this entire time, but one thing I love about this offense is that, you know, the market is very in on Kenny Galladay, but you can get Daniel Jones very cheap, you know, 14th, 15th round, and you can get Darius Slayton, Sterling Shepard, and Kadarius Toney very cheaply. So in these drafts where a lot of the times we're trying to stack up our offenses to have those points coming together into our lineups in the same week, you know, you can have a complete team through 13 rounds, then take Daniel Jones, then take Sterling Shepard, then take Darius Slayton, and you got your little stack built in there in the back portion of your draft, which I really like that strategy.
All right, let's move on and cover tight end. I'm convinced if Evan Engram ever played 16 or 17 games, he'd be a top three tight end. It's just not happening. 650 yards last year and a touchdown. A ton of talent, makes unbelievable catches. It's just health with him. That's what it's been. So they bring in Kyle Rudolph, who is clearly at the end of the line here. I mean, I suppose he's going to make the team because they didn't pay him to not, so he'll play. But it seems like he's more of an insurance policy for Engram, and they needed one, I think, going into the year.
Yeah, I mean, the Evan Engram thing is like, I want to believe in him so much. He was a great athlete. He performed so strongly at Mississippi, you know, was a great touchdown scorer, was what came out of college at a young age, you know, looked really solid. I mean, he had 115 targets and 6 touchdowns as a rookie. Those are insane numbers for rookie tight ends. Rookie tight ends generally don't even see the field. And then basically every year since then, he has either been hurt. And then what Jason Garrett did with him last year was so counterproductive. They turned Evan Engram into their like screen guy. They played him so close to the line of scrimmage. He actually led the team in targets. I bet you would not have guessed that Evan Engram led the Giants in targets last season, but he was being targeted so close to the line of scrimmage that his fantasy numbers were awful and he scored only one touchdown. If the Giants pan out, if Daniel Jones is good, if this whole offensive plan works, I think Evan Engram will be a huge beneficiary, and that upside has me coming back. But as with every member of this team, it just comes down to, can Daniel Jones figure it out? I don't know if he can or if he can't. I think it's probably less likely he does than more likely, but it does all flow from Daniel Jones for them.
Yeah. I mean, look, the quarterback in the NFL is always going to drive the bus. That's what it's about. But Engram is a guy that, when healthy, looks great. But yeah, I mean, the Giants wide receivers is my big thing going into this draft from this team, especially Galladay, Slayton, Shepard, Tony. You know, who is going to emerge as the best? It would
try a free sample of berry pie.
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, will this send me spiraling out of my routine?
Time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your metabolism. Drink butter coffee instead to kill cravings.
What? Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning, right? Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again?
Fruit ruins
Never
insulin
eat after 7 p.m.
One cheat day.
Cut carbs by
30%. Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear. Just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at Signos.com. That's SIGNOS.com with code SPARK. Signos.
Seemingly be Galladay, but who knows? He was hurt all of last year. All right, fantasy or reality is coming up next. We're bringing our producer, Brett Levy, for our burning questions as we get ready to wrap up our show here on this Wednesday. Stick with us. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back, Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. It is almost holiday time. Another one coming up for us here, July 4th holiday. In just over 2 weeks, we are almost there, folks. And just a reminder for that weekend coming up here on Sports Grid. So that would be Friday, July the 2nd. We're going to have a special edition of our show. Davis and I are going to run through every single NFL team and their season win total in honor of the Independence and July 4th holiday. So make sure you tune into that special edition of the show that is Friday, July the 2nd. You can get an early look at all of the win totals over on FanDuel. Make sure you tune into that. Now, Davis, another holiday happened this past week before we get into some fantasy or reality. And I know that every single day I look at my front door and I see a package from Amazon Prime. It goes without saying, it is always there. But on Monday, they had this, I think, Amazon Prime Day, which is like every other day for me here because we're always ordering stuff here. My bill just goes up and up and up. Did you participate in Prime Day this past week?
So I am, no pun intended, the prime candidate for Prime Day. I love to buy trinkets and crap. And it, much like your house, I have crap coming from Amazon all the time. So I bought this house, and we've bought, you know, end tables that we had to assemble from Amazon. We're buying stuff for the yard. I'm buying, you know, bug spray to get ants away from my house. I'm buying crap for the dogs. I'm buying, you know, bandanas for the dogs. And you see, I mean, just unlimited crap from Amazon entering my house. But I just, as of yesterday, Prime Day going on, I didn't really feel the need, you know, didn't feel like I needed anything. I looked through some of the deals. The best deals you're going to get are going to be like electronic things that companies are trying to offload on that day. Kind of like how Black Friday, the best deals you're going to get are on like prior year electronics. But I'm good. I'm good on electronics and chintzy crap like that for now. What about you? Did your son order anything?
Yeah, no. I mean, listen, we're still spending a lot of money on this MLB The Show. He got his, I guess they gave away, they didn't give away, but you could get Wander Franco and get him up to a 99. I think that's something like that. So he ended up with Wander Franco. He mentioned something about having to buy 30 Ryan Zimmermans to do something. I'm just following along here, Davis. I don't know how it's going, but his birthday is coming up. So naturally, he's going to get some gifts there, and I'm guessing it's going to be spent to build his team up. But to answer your question directly, again, it is Prime Day every day here. There's a knock on the door. Something's at the door. I don't know what it is. I open it up, and I'm like, who ordered this? 9 times out of 10, it's not me. 9 times out of 10, it's somebody else in my family. My daughter even has access to this somehow, and she's getting stuff too. So yes, we participated, but inadvertently would be the way that I would describe it. Brett, I know you're a huge orderer online, always ordering stuff. So I know we got Fantasy Reality coming up. I'm guessing that you did not order that nice blue shirt that you're wearing on Amazon Prime. But it does look good on you today, Brett. I'll say that.
Thanks, Craig. I saw you guys were wearing blue. I had to get my blue shirt out. But the 76ers, GM Daryl Morey held a press conference yesterday, Craig. And he had some interesting thoughts. He said, I don't choose to come here. Doc Rivers doesn't choose to come here. If this is a bad situation, I mean, really, 25 or 26 teams in this league would love to be in our situation with an MVP caliber top player, an all-star, a near all-star, great young players who are signed for the long term, and good veterans. We've built a good foundation. So we got to ask, Davis, we'll start with you. 25 NBA teams would want to be in the Philadelphia 76ers situation. Is this a fantasy or reality?
You know, I guess it kind of depends a little bit on how you define the situation. Do you define it as head coach? Do you define it as ownership? Do you define it as GM? And I think if you view yourself as the GM of the 76ers and you have the right to use the draft picks, you have the right to do with whatever you want to do with Ben Simmons and Tobias Harris and Joel Embiid, I think the answer is yes. I mean, certainly teams in the Eastern Conference, I'd rather be the Nets and the Bucks, and then I think I would rather be the 76ers than every other team. In the Western Conference, I would rather be the Nuggets. I would rather be the Lakers, and I think I would rather be the Jazz. So that's 5 teams. And then, you know, that obviously that would be less than 25. So I think the answer is a reality because you can trade Ben Simmons. You can get Ben Simmons a new coach. You know, this is Brett, you would know this. The 76ers have basically not been able to get Ben Simmons shooting coaching at this point. And if you change that and Ben Simmons gets a shooting coach, I mean, who knows what the ceiling for the 76ers would be?
Yeah, I mean, 25, I mean, that seems really strong. Like, and again, you'd know more about this than me, but I felt like we could keep going a little bit. And I guess the reason why I say that is that all that tanking and all that losing, what did it get? Philadelphia. Like, I mean, they never even got to a finals out of all of this. So I'm going to say fantasy. I mean, I'm not going to play Homer here and use Miami, but I think I'd rather be the Clippers. And in a couple of years from now, I'd rather be your team, Oklahoma City, with all those draft picks they have. So I'm going to say he's off. I'm going to say fantasy. 2 years ago, it appeared to be that way. But you just mentioned one of the key reasons. I mean, they're going to have to trade Simmons. Now, if they get something back in return that is solid and they could get a player who's viable, then yeah, I think that it's probably in that situation. But you're right, there's a lot of layers there, depending on the coach, who's calling the shots, who the GM is. But I'm going to say fantasy. I think it's too much.
All right. Well, this next question, what if I told you guys one of the most popular basketball franchises in the world wasn't in the NBA? The Harlem Globetrotters are making some noise, and they are petitioning to become an NBA franchise. They wrote a letter, reached out to Adam Silver, stating that, you know, when the league first joined, the Harlem Globetrotters were not invited to join, but many of their players were drafted and asked to join NBA teams. Craig, we're going to start with you on this one, but we got to ask, with all this history that the Harlem Globetrotters have in basketball and how great they've been for such a long time, the Harlem Globetrotters should be an NBA franchise. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Yeah, I mean, the Harlem Globetrotters have a great history and they have a great following, but I don't know. I mean, I hate to go fantasy twice back to back. I'm going to say fantasy here. I think we have enough NBA franchises. I think Seattle is still an option potentially for another NBA franchise to come in. But for me, I am going to say fantasy here. Harlem Globetrotters should not be an NBA franchise. I'm going to stick with my fantasy there. Davis, how about you?
I mean, look, the Harlem Globetrotters are fun and everything. I've been to a Globetrotters game as a kid. I actually have like a very specific memory of going to it. They, for whatever reason, they were in the crappy little town that I grew up in Kansas, you know, 50,000 people, probably 5,000 people in attendance or whatever, but of course they shouldn't be in it. Well, how about this? How about the Harlem Globetrotters as currently constructed shouldn't be an NBA franchise, but it would be amazing if the NBA added a franchise in New York, you know, put it in Harlem, gave them, you know, they had the ownership, they had everything set up, and like the Globetrotters did become both, you know, the barnstorming entity that they are now, and then also the NBA franchise. Like if both wings of that existed, I actually think that would be really cool. And I bet that team would kill it on the merch. I bet Harlem Globetrotters merch would be insane.
I would agree with that, but I'm going to say fantasy regardless. I'm hoping I can get a reality to close us out here, Brett. It's been rough. Sorry.
All right. Oh, yeah, no problem. We'll see what we can do here. But there was a big TikTok video this weekend. Not sure if you guys saw it. Tony Hawk and Avril Lavigne got together. Avril Lavigne announced she was having a TikTok, and she did a little Skater Boy remake, which was one of her big songs in the early 2000s. Tony Hawk was in it. It was a lot of fun. So we got to ask, Davis, we can start with you for this one. Tony Hawk and Avril Lavigne had the best TikTok of 2021. Is this a fantasy or reality?
So every once in a while, there will be something that makes me feel like a boomer, right? I'm 28, but there are some things that the kids are into that I just can't get there, right? Every once in a while, there's some lingo I don't understand. I'm not a big TikToker. I don't have it on my phone. So in terms of all of the great TikToks that there have been, I certainly have not seen all of them, but this particular one was pretty good, right? Avril Lavigne, the Skater Boy song, Tony Hawk, obviously, you know, the most famous skateboarder, pretty much responsible for bringing it all over the United States of America. It was pretty good. I will say it's the best TikTok I've seen, so I'm going to say reality.
Yeah, I thought that maybe this would be up your alley, Davis, because of the skateboarding. Now, look, around the time that Avril Lavigne's music came out, of course, I'm aware of her and I'm into music, so I certainly understand her popularity. I would also say what is impressive is she just sort of looks exactly the same as she has like 15 years ago. I'm sure that she has still been making music in the last 15 years, so shame on me for not knowing what that would be. But the thing with me and TikTok is this. I have sort of tried my best to stay away from all of the social medias outside of Twitter. I'm probably one of the last people that you're listening to or watching that has never, and I know you're not, no one believing this is gonna, no one watching is gonna believe this. I have never had a Facebook account. I have never had one in any way. There is a fake Craig Mish out there. It is not me, and they spelled the name wrong too, so don't be fooled. Every once in a while, I get a happy birthday, and it's not my birthday from people, but they see this guy on Facebook. It is not me. So I do not have Facebook. I do not have Instagram. I have like a sort of burner account just so I could see what's going on Instagram, but it's not my name or anything else. And I definitely do not have a TikTok account. So I am going to say reality, but I am not well educated on TikTok. I don't really understand everything that's going on with TikTok, but I will say that pairing these two together and by the way, promoting it and doing it the right way is a thumbs up for me. Can you see my thumbs? Two thumbs up. Okay. So I am going to say reality on Avril Lavigne and Tony Hawk getting together and putting that together. So good job by them. All right. We got to take a quick break here on Fantasy Sports Today, but we got plenty more to come here on the show as Davis and I are going to dive into the Sports Grid 60 that is coming up next. Programming reminder for those of you getting ready to tune in to our programming later today, Scott Farrell coming up later today, 4 o'clock Eastern. And then, of course, we have Game Time Decisions and In-Game Live, the latest on the NHL and NBA postseason, and, of course, everything going on in the craziness of Major League Baseball as well. Tomorrow on our show, we'll preview the next game in the Western Conference Finals, Stanley Cup Finals. George Kurtz will join us on the show. Later in the week, we've got our NASCAR preview with Jim Sannis. Gray Albright will be back here on the show as well. So stay with us and stay on the grid. We have plenty more to come, including the Sports Grid 60, which is next. Right here on Fantasy Sports Today. Also, our YouTube channel, always a fun spot to check out. All of our best ball previews and 2021 fantasy football previews. We'll have another one for you here tomorrow. Don't go away. Stay on the grid. We'll be back to wrap it all up right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mitch, Davis Matic, as we get ready to wrap up our show here on this Wednesday. Reminder, once again, we'll be back here tomorrow on Thursday taking care of all of your needs in fantasy reality. We'll have our full recap of the Milwaukee Bucks-Atlanta Hawks game and hopefully no more silliness in Major League Baseball. But I'll be home tonight watching all the games, so I'll be able to talk about them all much easier for me tomorrow. Sports Grid 60, I am going to close it out solo here on the show for you today. And on August 28th, 2021, why is that date significant to anyone and even in our world here on Sports Grid? August 28th, 2021. Well, that is going to be the first day, by the way, 2 months away, of the college football season. And my gosh, isn't it nice to be sitting here in June and know that we're going to have a college football season this year? Do you remember exactly what was going on a year ago? Teams fighting, conferences saying they're not going to play, Big Ten, we're not playing at all. Then all of a sudden in August, deciding they were going to play in October. We don't have any of that nonsense going on this year. To me, college football is the most fun and the most underrated sport. And while we spend a lot of time, trust me, here on our shows and on all of the shows here on Sports Grid focusing on the NFL, college football is back and in a big way. Now, it may fly under the radar again over the next couple of months, understandably so. We did not have a full college football season last year either. But I got to tell you, when I look at the schedule and I see these games, even though the highlight maybe of the 28th could be Nebraska and Illinois on Saturday, August the 28th, I could be looking more forward to that than anything else that's coming up in this upcoming football season. And perhaps as we get closer, we'll have some win totals to discuss on college football season as well. All right, that'll do it for our show today. Once again, thank you to Connell over at LTN at the controls for everything that he's doing today. Also, our producer, Brett Levy, doing a phenomenal job as always. Danny and Ryan for putting our graphics together and getting everything set for us as well. For my co-host, Davis Maddock, I'm Craig Mish. Hope you have a great rest of your Wednesday. Whatever you're doing, stay on the grid. We got great programming for you coming up later today and tonight. We will see you tomorrow at noon right here on Sports Grid for another edition of Fantasy Sports Today. See ya.